Good afternoon, Namibia, and welcome to On The Radar, right here on Eagle FM, your number one talk radio station. I am your host, Ndafa Happy Juju. Now, it's Monday, the start of a brand new week, and for many, a chance to reset, regroup, and refocus. Now, whether you're hitting the road running in Windhoek, braving the morning chill in Otavi, or easing into your day somewhere along the coast, we're glad to have you with us. Now, On The Radar is where the noise clears and the meaning comes into focus. We go beyond the headlines to examine what really matters, who's making the decisions, who's being left behind, and how the stories shape Namibia are being lived by everyday people. From grassroots moments to boardroom deals, from policy shifts to street-level impact, this is your space to ask the bigger questions. What's happening with service delivery? How are new developments in health, education, and infrastructure actually rolling out? And what are the implications for justice, accountability, and inclusion in our society? You can catch us live on Eagle FM app and website, or join the ongoing conversation via our studio number 0832888401. Make sure you do follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn, and our WhatsApp channel. However, you're tuning in on the road or at your desk or during your lunch break, thank you for making yourself part of our conversation this Monday. Now, this is On The Radar, where Namibia's headlines meet Namibia's people. Let's dive right into it. In a very passionate call for national consciousness, youth leader and a public sector scholar, Simon Kanepolo Amunima has urged Namibians to resist the rising tide of tribal branding in economic ventures, particularly those linked to food production and agriculture. His statement titled "Food Security Should Unite Us, Not Divide Us" emphasizes that while community-based agricultural efforts should be celebrated, the national narrative must remain inclusive, unifying, and above all, non-tribal. As Namibia grapples with challenges such as climate change, global supply disruptions, and economic uncertainty, food security has emerged as a critical priority. Now, in this context, Amunime argues every effort from smallholder farmers to regional cooperatives must be recognized as part of the national fabric, not a tribal achievement. Namibia needs farmers, cooperatives, and grassroots innovation across all its regions, north to south, west to east, calling on all sectors of society to support and uplift local producers, regardless of regional or ethnic origin. Now, Amunime's remarks appear to respond to recent public concerns over trucks carrying agricultural produce being labeled with names or identifiers linked to specific ethnic groups. Now, while such actions may be unintentional, he warns that they carry the dangerous risk of exclusionary perceptions and undermine national unity. Now, when trucks carrying food are publicly labeled with the name of a specific ethnic group, it sends a message that contradicts the spirit of national unity. He cautioned that is not only unwise for business, it is dangerous for national cohesion. He drew inspiration from Mozambican revolutionary Masora Machel, referencing his powerful diktat, "For the nation to live, the tribe must die." Amunime clarified that this is not a rejection of cultural or identity, but a call to reject tribalism and ethnical motivated divisions that threaten democracy and development. The message is specifically resonates in light of the government's renewed focus on food systems transformation, youth in agriculture, and the scaling of sustainable farm models. The Ministry of Agriculture, Water and Land Reform has repeatedly emphasized the need for inclusive policies that bring together communities, private sector stakeholders, and emerging farmers from all backgrounds. Now, of course, we have Simon Amunime online to engage him on this, and of course, and on his sentiments as we talk about food security and unity. Good afternoon, Simon Amunime. Thank you so much for joining us right here on The Radar Analysis.
No, good afternoon, Juju, and thank you very much for having me. Greetings to the listeners.
Simon, what inspired you to write that piece that is calling for food security to actually unite us and not divide us?
Yeah, no, Actually, maybe as a point of departure, first just to recognize that food security is a national agenda.
Mm.
And when we speak about food, it's food that everyone eats. It does not matter whether we are black or white, whether you are from this tribe, we all go and buy food. Whatever shop you go in, it does not matter that it's from where.
Yeah.
We go and buy food because food is consumed by everyone. And it was actually a good step, step in a good direction that we are seeing that Namibians from different corners of the country, we are all taking initiative to make a contribution towards food production,
mm-hmm.
towards Namibia becoming a food sufficient country, that we just don't rely on foreign countries or on imports in terms of feeding ourselves. As they say, that who feeds you controls you.
Mm.
I think that is then a good posture that you've taken to make sure that we are involved in producing our own food as a country.
Yeah.
And diving into the matter is that I was actually very excited
mm-hmm.
To learn about the initiative that happened in the Oshkoto region,
yeah.
in Omtia constituency, at a place called Okashana, where we've seen stakeholders, equally the initiative from the Ondonga Traditional Authority, spearheaded by the king, Orupaniwa, or the chief, Tateshumba, in terms of the effort they've put in the community to produce food.
Yeah.
And the first harvest was about potato, which excited all of us, and it's something that should be commended and supported by government, should be supported by the private sector, and as well as by the community at large, in terms of really encouraging and just supporting initiative of such nature for us to be really able to get involved in terms of food security. That's noting, even in terms of the administration of the current president, Her Excellency, Dr. Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah, that if place agriculture is one of the priority areas when mm-hmm. it comes to administration, that indeed it's very important that Namibia become a food-sufficient country and we invest and put resources in terms of investing in us producing food for our own consumption.
Yeah. With the way food security is now going within Namibia, and of course we're seeing that a lot of people are picking up on this, and that's really a wonderful thing. What would you caution them strongly about? Of course, it might be unintentional, maybe in jokes or whatever, but then sometimes jokes can actually come off very bad, and we should be careful about making foolish jokes in the first place. So what strong message would you want to send to the people, even themselves, those that are partaking in contributing to food security right in Namibia?
Yeah, no, as I said, food security, of course, is a serious economic national interest. And the initiatives such as the one that happened in Oshkoto, Omthia, should be commended. However, I think it's very important that we must be very careful
mm-hmm.
as a country not to fall in the trap of or a trap of what we call tribal labeling
mm-hmm.
or ethnic branding. Once an initiative of such nature is carried out, it should not really be labeled in terms of a specific ethnic group, because I was very disappointed
yeah.
to see tracks labeled from a specific traditional authority. It shouldn't be like that. Because
mm-hmm.
even as a country, what we must also be able to understand is that even our traditional authority operates under the legal frameworks of the state. Because as a country, we are not a monarch. We are a democratic state, is an elected government.
Yeah.
But we have made provision to recognize our kings and chiefs and queens under traditional authority. But the government have made it very clear in terms of the developmental state and agenda that they've demarcated in terms of how governance, in terms of how development, in terms of how system and processes should be done when it comes to the country. That's why the country is demarcated into 14 regions. The country is then further demarcated into what we call as local authority, which mm-hmm. are your municipality, towns, village council, and again down at the lower organ, which is called constituency. So when we carry out projects for communities, or developmental projects that are aimed at uplifting or either solving national problems.
Yeah.
We rather refer to them either as a village, we refer to them either as a constituency, whether it's a town, it's a region, and not refer to them as ethnic groups tribal labeling, because that then becomes very dangerous. Yeah, we should caution against that, because economic empowerment and food production must never be packaged as tribal achievements. It should be done as a community to say, for example, this specific project that was initiated by Ondonga Traditional Authority that is taking place at Okashana in Omthia constituency in Oshikoto region, for example, the community evolved and were able to make this harvest. Because the project is a community project and it should benefit and should not have a face of a particular tribe, because that is not good for cohesion. It's not good for unity, and it's not good for development, because then it creates some sort of mayhem and hostility to say, no, this product belongs to a specific tribe or it belongs to a specific region. It shouldn't be like that. When it comes to food security as well as economic empowerment, we should desist and be very careful to label food or produce that are intended to make a contribution in terms of Namibia becoming a food-sufficient country, and we should not really either politicize them, tribalize them, or either just package them as tribal achievement, because we must be able to understand that any group, individual or community or traditional authority are welcome and should be commended for coming up with any initiative that is making a contribution to food production, but should not be turned now into a competition. Because if we turn into a competition, I don't think it will be good for social cohesion. Then it will be like, okay, the Ondonga, they are producing. What about, for example, the Kwambi traditional authority? Or, for example, the Akwarudi, or to say maybe Akwanyama traditional authority and stuff around like that, which I don't think it's really a good step to take. But the initiative is very good and should be supported and commended. But in terms of the tribal labeling or the ethnic branding, when it comes in terms of now when we have to either go and supply or sell, that should be discouraged at all costs.
Now, Simon, you quote Mozambique's revolutionary Samora Machel, who once said, for the nation to live, the tribe must die. And of course, you made that very clear in your opinion piece that his message was not a rejection of culture or heritage. It was a warning against identity politics and tribal branding that prisons democracy. Now, of course, when you talk about, when you quote this particular words of Samora Machel, we do often see a divide up or division of the Namibian people. By this, I'm referring to social media, especially Facebook, where you get comments where this ones are pulling in this direction because they are of this tribe. This ones are pulling on this direction because of this particular, of the other particular tribe. And we, and it's mostly by the Namibian people who are younger people, the youth who are supposed to, know better. What would you actually also say to them, in terms of trying to just be very cautious in terms of this, not just food security itself, but anything else that's related to sort of like trying to divide us? For instance, let me just be clear on this one about the recently crowned Miss Namibia. And of course, some people sentiments were not so good. For some, they were actually applauding, regardless of tribe and ethnicity, where she's coming from. But for other people, seemed to want to divide the nation. What's your words on that?
Yeah, no, it's actually what it is. Like I quoted Samora Machel, who's one of the respected revolutionary leaders in Africa. Of course, he was the late president of Mozambique. Yeah, it's just to say that this is a country and we should embrace the culture of nationalism. That is not just coming now. It's dating back from nationalists such as Hosea Kutako, who were really very, very determined in terms of saying that Namibia should be one, regardless of our color, our tribes, our region, and stuff like that, the country should come first. And it further went with leaders such as Sam Nyoma, who were very knownly, famously known to say, one Namibia, one nation. Yeah, this is just to say that the tribe has to die for the nation to live. Meaning, first you are a Namibian, before you are a Bab, before you are Damaranama, before you are from Zambezi, before you are from Kavango, before you are from wherever Maeke, you are first a Namibian. And we should have that spirit of patriotism first, not in terms of mobilizing according or your loyalty towards a particular tribe. That brings civil war in countries, that brings backwardness. And if emerging youthful leaders should take over the spear from some of those greatest revolutionaries, such as Sam Nyoma, who never saw a tribe. When people went to fight for liberation struggle, we don't say, no, the liberation struggle was only fought by Sam Nyoma because Sam Nyoma is Ngajira from Umsati. No, people united behind the cause of liberation to say we want independence for this country. So the tribes don't matter. What should matter is that if Namibia comes first, and we should put that above and beyond anything else. So that's basically just to emphasize and say that in the words of Samora Machel is that we are not saying that we must not respect our cultures, our identity, and our tribe. But if we are to pursue a national agenda, we must put Namibia first and not our own tribes. Whether it's into food production, whether it's into education, whether into service delivery, because it can be a disease that can separate and cause destruction as a country. So it's just to emphasize that, indeed, for a nation to live, people must not consider tribesmen or tribeswomen when it comes to some of those important basic things. We can celebrate those events at cultural festivals, various cultural-oriented events, but we are a democratic country. We are not even a monarch that is led maybe by traditional leaders. We recognize, they are recognized under our laws, and they even fall under the Minister of Urban and Rural Development, meaning they are subordinates. They are subordinates to the Constitution. They are subordinates to the government. They report to the government. They get recognized by the government. So we must be able to tell our people that Namibia was not built by time. Was built by men and women who believe in something greater than ethnicity, who were united under the flag of one nation. So all our leaders have shown us that, and it's important, especially for the emerging leaders, the new leaders, to be able to lead and encourage and also portray that posture when it comes to the public, not really to have loyalty to a particular tribe or whatsoever. And I tell people, even through my engagement with people, some were coming to say that, yeah, but why do you guys say this? It's maybe jealousy because of a particular tribe. You are just against because, but I'm also Ndonga. My mother is from Oshkoto, is from the Ndonga origin. That's why I'm saying it doesn't matter. We must not subscribe to agendas of advancing interests of a particular tribe, but to the Namibian nation. And it shouldn't matter the color, shouldn't matter the tribe. We should all then just push towards really working towards having a greater Namibia and not for a particular tribe. Because also, Juju, what you must understand sometimes, someone will celebrate and say, no, Simon Amunime is a minister of agriculture. I'm happy because he's from my tribe. What difference does it make because someone is a minister of agriculture and from your tribe? If the person is not competent, if the person has no willingness and the person has no humanity, your life is not going to change.
Exactly.
Yeah, so we should really consider competence. We must consider people with integrity. We should consider people that are people-centered in terms of when it comes to some of those national duties. And it shouldn't really matter from what tribe the person is coming from. Of course, sometimes there are those prejudices and stereotypes and myths that people have as Africans. But really for us to progress as a nation, we must begin to have that nationalist spirit reawakening in our generation, where we don't really see things of that the person is from this tribe and so forth. And when we get involved into projects that are aimed at uplifting or that are into alignment with our national agendas, we should rather refer to them either of a village, because it's a name, to the village, but from different backgrounds. You either refer to them as a constituency, you either refer to them as a region, either refer to Namibia or as a tower. If people are marginalized or people are disadvantaged, you cannot go and refer, for example, to say, no, for example, Akwarudi in a particular area must be assisted.
Exactly.
It can't be like that. So you rather say people of a particular constituency or a particular village needs to be assisted or need this type of services, or they are producing this type of stuff. That was a very good project, just to have it on record. But for me, the branding of inculcating the aspects of tribal branding, that is something that should be rejected, and we should don't encourage such things to happen going forward.
Absolutely. Simon, I do sincerely appreciate that opinion piece that you wrote up the... I concur with what you're saying, honestly. Of course, food security should unite us and not divide us. And thank you so much for making time for us right here on the Reader News Analysis.
No, thank you very much for having me.
Okay. And there you had it from Simon Munime, who wrote up an opinion piece titled, and let me just read it also fully for you to get it and grasp it. And hopefully it speaks to the mind of many people, and hopefully just not about food security, but everything that has to do with us Namibians that we are doing collectively and together, so that we are reminded, and it's written within on the table of our hearts and in our minds, that we are a united people. We are, at the end of the day, one Namibia, one nation. Now, it's titled Food Security Should Unite Us, Not Divide Us, A Call for National Consciousness. Any individual, group, community, or traditional authority that takes the initiative to produce food and contribute to national food security must be commended and supported. In a time when the threats of hunger, climate change, and global supply chain disruptions loom large, every effort to boost agricultural productivity and self-reliance should be celebrated. Namibia needs farmers, cooperatives, and grassroots innovation across all the regions, north to south, west to east. However, while encouraging and investing in such vital work, we must be careful not to fall into the trap of tribal labeling or ethnic branding, especially in matters of national economic interest. When trucks carrying food are publicly labeled with the name of a specific ethnic group, it sends a message that contradicts the spirit of national unity. Now, this practice, though perhaps unintended, risks creating the perception that such economic ventures are exclusive to one tribe or region. That is not only unwise for business, it is dangerous for national cohesion. Economic empowerment and food production must never be packaged as tribal achievements. They must be embraced and promoted as national progress. Food security should never be politicized or tribalized. Instead, it should inspire unity, partnerships, and a pride across the country. A maize field in Zambezi, a vegetable garden in Kunene, or a poultry project in Omaheke contributes equally to feeding the Namibian nation, not just a particular group. Let us remember the powerful words of Mozambican revolutionary Samora Machel, who once said, "For the nation to live, the tribe must die." His message was not a rejection of culture or heritage. It was a warning against identity politics and tribal branding that poison democracy, fracture social harmony, and slow down national development. His words ring louder today as we navigate the delicate balance between cultural pride and inclusive nation building. Namibia's strength lies in our unity in agriculture, business, education, and governance. We must promote initiatives in a way that invites collaboration and solidarity, not suspicion or division. The identity of a farm should be Namibian. The success of a food truck should be national. The face of progress should reflect all our people, not just a tribe, but a nation. Let us support all food producers equally, but let us also be vigilant when development is labeled ethnically. It risks becoming exclusive. When empowerment is liked or linked to tribe, it loses its democratic value. Let us reject this trend and instead champion Namibia, where all citizens can contribute, benefit, and feel proud of every harvest. Only then can we say with confidence and pride, the tribe has died and the nation lives. And those are the words of Simon Amunimer. I guess that was just a summary of what he also had to say right here on the Reader Analysis. Now let's pause right here and take a trip to the marketplace. When we do return, we shall be talking to political commentator and social issues commentator Ben Mulongeni to also get his feel or his sentiment in this regard. Let's pause right here. Our studio line is also very much open. 0832-888-401 is the number that gets you in studio. So you can air your opinions and contributions right here on the Reader Analysis. See you soon.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the
eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Simon, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Welcome back, and you are tuned into On The Reader Analysis right here on Eagle FM. Now, of course, I'm joined in studio by political analyst and social issues commentator, Dr. Ben Mulongeni. Good afternoon, Dr. Ben. It's a pleasure to have you again on The Reader Analysis.
Good afternoon, happy. Good afternoon, listeners of Eagle FM.
Mm-hmm. Now, Dr. Ben, we're talking about Simon's opinion piece, and not just that, but on what it's centered around. Food security should unite us and not divide us, in which is urging Namibians to resist a rising tide of tribal branding in economic ventures, particularly those linked to food production and agriculture. Now, for you being a political analyst, why is Namibia supposed to be very cautious in terms of doing stuff like this?
Well, it's not only food security that should unite us. Everything Namibian should unite us.
Correct.
Everything we do should be, contributing to unity. Nothing should be done or be said that is, that amount to labeling people, causing disunity or hatred or hate speech. Nothing. Mm-hmm. So it's not only food security.
Yeah.
But of course, he got the point on food security, because there's a case where maybe people are trying to label others of what and this. But as I'm saying, I look at it in a very broader, naturally, and wherever we are building a nation that had been divided for centuries by many, many evil laws of apartheid and the German colonization. Our nation suffered a lot. They killed and maimed and suffered. We can say the whole Namibian nation is a traumatized nation. So it's true that we are very sensitive to anything that is, being seen as contribute to tribal divide.
Mm-hmm.
However, as a journalist, I'm not easily offended by remark that either with tribal tone or any other.
Yeah.
I also caution that we shouldn't really take everything serious that is labeling as I think we should just brush it out and laugh about it. Sometimes when you laugh at ourselves in a very positive way, we can heal.
Mm-hmm.
I work with some Africana, under me and some at my level, and we joked about those things. And sometimes they said, "My buri here and we joke about it because it's there, it's been real, and the moment we joke about it, it's healing, and we like it." And the other time, I just given the last example. I had Blossom performing in front of President Pohamba and other ministers and everybody else.
Yeah.
And then Pohamba came to me because there's Blossom, and then that song called Sima Womea. I want everybody to listen carefully.
Yeah.
And then this feature by one African young man who happened to be a pastor. I think I forgot his name now. Who I managed together in that program, in that project of that song, and people were impressed. They were impressed, and then Pohamba came to me and asked me in the Swambo, "Haiti, Okambu, where can we find the record?" I was in a Chokamburu. He didn't say it. "Shinde, where can we find the record?" Then I said, in the presence of that boy, I said, "Ah, that is my Burki. It's my Burki." And he was so happy, and wherever we meet, he said, "Hey, guess what? That is Burki, man. So, of course, every joke must be relevant to the situation, and you must know who to joke. But remember, it's not only about this case of food. There are also, other instances and cases where, some people are labeled as being lazy. Others are witches, although there are witches in every tribe.
Yeah.
There are people in every tribe. Others are too drunkard. Others, they step knife. Others, they do.
Others they kill, stuff like that.
Yeah, you know, others are killers, are robbers, are thieves.
Mm.
There was a time when the house was broken into in Windhoek West and the early years of independence. And there was a lady, I won't mention her name, I hope she's still alive. And we were colleagues, she's Afrikaner. And then it was me, then the one Herrero, the guy from Belgium, then this Afrikaner lady. We're all employees of the academy by then. You know, I started working at the academy, that became UNAM. And then we said, no, the house was broken into. It's one of our fellow lecturers. And then the lady said, are they vambus? You understand? So there's a stereotype that whoever can break into a house should be a vambu. Because vambus are the majority, maybe they are the vambus, but does not mean there are no other tribes who can break into the houses. People are breaking the houses in South Africa, in Zambia, but there are no vambus there. You understand? Again, these things, we must know how to live with them, and we should not really at every juncture overreact. I'm not saying Simon did overreact. We should know actually how to live with it. In Europe, where I spend quite some time, the Germans are known as pigs because they eat pigs. The French, they are called Jabari, which means the frog ones because they eat frogs. Every tribe got its own nickname, but it's not really kind words, but they make jokes about it.
Mm-hmm.
One tribe, they are known as stingies. The other ones are stubborn and a little bit stupid and stubborn, combination of stupid and stubborn. They are not stupid. Only that you cannot really convince them very easily. So, they don't believe in anybody. They never believe in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And they never believe in socialism. They never believe in capitalism either. They are by themselves. That's how they are known. They are strong character, you understand.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot tell them anything, you see, good or bad. They are just always skeptical. Now, it's a tribe known for that. Let's know that if people are known to be hardworking, so be it. If people are known to be a little bit lazy, so be it. But we must overcome that to laugh about it, so that we can, we can cross that barrier. We must know each other too much. We must know too much of the Sobias, the Lozi speaking, the Kwanyamas, the Kwambis. Let's make jokes about it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, those things will never stop.
Mm-mm-mm-mm.
But they cannot stop. They cannot. If we have to cry and get angry about every label that against, we never reach anywhere. We must rather appreciate those differences.
Mm.
Each one contributing in whatever its characters.
Mm-hmm.
I think I want to be understood in the right context, what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. I get you in the right context. I hope others are as well. If I get what you're saying, there's a wonderful question that I think is aligning very well with what you're saying now. Must you throw stones to every dog that barks at you?
Absolutely not. We shouldn't.
Mm.
We shouldn't. If you are being labeled as hard worker, work hard. But don't big head that you are not the only one who work hard, because it's not by somebody else. I said in one conference, and I said, listen, I think that conference was in the SAS. And then I made a point. People was a point that, okay, some people are lazy. It was labeled against the SAS. And I said, people are not lazy.
Mm-hmm.
Laziness or hard working is not a biological trait. It may be social.
I like that point. Mm-hmm.
Socialize and become cultural.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not genetic.
Mm-hmm.
Then I said, you don't force people to do what others do.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Let me make a point here. I reached a conclusion why the Vambos are seen to be hardworking, because they were forced to do it. They were forced because they were recruited by force.
Yeah.
The chiefs and kings, they were forced to send their young boys to go in the farm and in the mines. But they never forced the Namas to do the same.
Mm.
But the Namas, there's something that can do better, which Vambos cannot do. For example, they know how to do skins. They are artisans. And who build the buildings? The bastards.
Mm.
Because they are culturally trained and they became artisans. That does not mean Vambo cannot do it. Everybody is doing it.
Yeah.
The people from Angola, they were more technical, because the Portuguese were availing this opportunity to black people to do. They were all repairing radios. They were all building when I was growing up. Nobody else, only the Imbundu from Angola, because they were open. The Portuguese never deprived somebody from doing those professions.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah, understand.
So everything is cultural, social. It's not genetical. But you must now identify what are the Kawango Bedite.
Mm-hmm.
Wood cutting.
Mm-hmm.
Are they lazy? No, you are lazy because you don't know how to do it. You are not lazy. You simply not be exposed culturally to
exactly.
Those are things that us now, who philosophers try to explain those things.
Mm-hmm.
Circumstances make people what they are.
Mm.
Not biology.
I appreciate that. Now, Dr. Ben, while we are still there, and you're making that statement right there. Now, knowing this as Namibia itself, knowing this that one ethnic, and it's true, let's not really shy away from it. Sometimes, as you spoke, culturally, socially, what they were exposed to, what the environment is like. Now, knowing this, and perhaps also negative and positive, how about perhaps we try to cultivate a culture in them and enhance them in that which is positive? In the part where it's negative, how about we actually come in and say we need to help this particular ethnic group in order to remove them from this particular negativity and to bring it to positivity?
Well, I think sometimes it happens evolutionary from individual to individual.
Okay.
I have seen one Herero woman who was selling kapana out of other Herero women.
Yeah.
And she said, me, I want to work with my Orombo woman because they do it better. It's a cultural thing. Not that they are lazy, they simply were not exposed to it. There were also people who did not even plant.
Yeah.
You must start planting. You know, it was not done culturally sometimes, but you can learn. But the key here lies in schools. We must start at schools because people, they go to school together, they play together. For example, rugby was for the Afrikaner, for the Bure, isn't it?
Yeah.
But there was a captain, a black man, captain of South African rugby team. And I believe there will also be a captain who's Kavango, Vambo, or anybody else. So it's a question. We are now one Namibia, one nation.
Yeah.
Where opportunities are leveled, are open to everybody. And I think at schools, and in towns, at clubs, and listen here. I had the promotion company promoting musicians. I had the Yers, I had the Hereros, I had the Kavangos, I had the Tosa, and I wanted the Bushmen because they are all talented. But simply because the town or the village where he grew up, there was no opportunity for him to
venture in that particular line.
So I'm talking about what I did best in boxing.
Mm-hmm.
In boxing. So now, what about other professions or other fields? A child from a poor was not exposed to athletic, but I think they have got good bodies. They run after cattle. What if you bring out from a poor and take him to a side where he can run every day?
Mm-hmm.
He's strong. Or a child from Tsunkwe. Those are people who are close to the nature. They are not spoiled by current dakas and alcohol and drug, all those things.
Yeah.
So the chance is now here, we in locations in settlement, young people, and some people are doing it. I will encourage, get all the kids from all tribes. Make a garden for all of them.
Yeah.
Hereros and Namas and all of them. And group them up with those. Even with the Bure, they are good in farming. Not because they are genetically good farmers.
Mm.
They are culturally good farmers because every child was brought up, was born in a farm. And so, but again, why you consider Bure being good farmers? Why at a farm? Who look after the cattle? Who vaccinate them? Either as a bushman, sorry for the word,
yeah,
or a Tapa, or a Damara, or a Vambu, or a Kavango, or somebody else who look after those cattle. Why are you not good at while you are being forced to do it by your master?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we're all good at everything. It's an issue of training.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Everybody's playing soccer today, but soccer starts playing somewhere else. And I think it started in Rome. People were kicking heads of captured slaves, you know. All the sports, some of them, they started everywhere. But maybe it was more structured somewhere else. Everybody got games. And the game became international. Yeah?
Yeah.
We must understand anything that one tribe is good at can be then introduced nationally because it can earn money. Woodcarving, we have a lot to learn from the Kavangos. But remember, there will be also an anecdote or a very ugly jokes about woodcarving.
Of course now.
But yeah, there will be also an anecdote or a joke about Kapana Sela. But you should shy away from it. It's part of life. You cannot avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
But must not be used to disadvantage. Unless you are using a joke or an anecdote to disadvantage somebody or blocking him from opportunity because he's from that tribe, then he cannot be, you know, allowed to do that. And that. Mm-hmm. Unless the only thing. But when we talk at your bars and your salons and whatever, you cannot stop people from saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Unless that article that Simon is reacting to, it was purposefully and publicly and kind of formally, officially, you know, directed at somebody because of a certain tribe. But if it's a joke like in the satire,
mm-hmm.
satire is fine. Humor is fine. It's fine. Caricature is fine. It's, for us, journalism is acceptable.
Yeah.
We don't even sue people because of a cartoon. Maybe you don't know that. You cannot sue people because of cartoons. No.
In other words, we should find balance between the two.
Of course, we have to find balance.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not defending. I'm saying it's the same way. You cannot make just jokes in front of anyone.
Exactly.
You can make a dirty jokes.
That of course.
You don't just make jokes at every platform.
Yes.
Not even every friend will take that joke lightly.
Mm-hmm.
So we must know how to balance it, and then it must be really well placed. Don't put it out of place.
Okay.
Generally, mm-hmm. we must not just, you know, throw a stone to every dog that is barking.
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
Unless it's a law.
I hear you. I hear you, Dr. Ben. Thank you so much for making time for us right here on the Reader Analysis. We do appreciate your contributions.
Thank you.
Okay. Now remember, you can also be part of the news analysis. 083-288-401 is the number in studio. 083-288-401 is the number in studio. Please come through and air opinions and contributions right here on the Reader Analysis. For now, let's pause right here and take a trip to the marketplace. And of course, when we do return, we shall be telling you what's making headlines today in terms of economic indicators.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo toto ingida ashike kapeno nwe utete ofoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihoetike kovano ile koshiwala. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa ninge pata fanoa na Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ileko mberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Welcome back. Like I said, you are tuned into On The Radar Analysis right here on Eagle FM. Now, if you're just joining us, welcome. And we are now talking about economic indicators. Now, of course, we're going to compare the Namibian dollar to other currencies. Of course, we're starting off with the US dollar today, getting you 18 Namibian dollars on the dot. And of course, for 1 euro, you'll get 20 Namibian dollars and 85 cents. 1 Australian dollar will get you 11 Namibian dollars and 66 cents. While 1 pound sterling will get you 23 Namibian dollars and 92 cents. 1 Botswana pula will get you $1 and 26 cents. 1 Nigerian naira gets you 0.012 Namibian dollars. Now let's move over to trading economics. Also, what's making headlines today in terms of trading economics? Let's start off with uranium. Uranium futures in the U.S. remained at $71.5 per pound mark, holding the decline from the 7th month high of $79 from June 17th as the lack of buying from holding funds lowered bids by utilities. Now, yellow cake prices raised their rally after the Sprott Physical Uranium Trust committed to buy $200 million worth of uranium, twice the amount signaled in its capital raise. Crude oil futures fell toward $66.5 per barrel on Monday as traders digested OPEC Plus' decision to raise output and growing geopolitical uncertainty. Now, the group confirmed a widely expected production increase of 547,000 barrels per day starting in September, completing the first reversal of voluntary cuts made in 2023. Now, while this move had been anticipated, it reinforced expectations that global oil supply may outpace demand later this year, potentially boosting inventories. Now, uncertainty remains over whether OPEC Plus will pause further supply increases. Meanwhile, soft U.S. jobs data heightened concerns over a slowing economy, especially as the Trump administration's recent wave of traffic adds pressure. Now, traders are also watching for possible U.S. action against Russian oil flows, and President Trump has threatened secondary sanctions on countries buying Russian crude, targeting India in particular, with potential pressures taking or potential measures taking effect as soon as the 8th of August. U.S. natural gas futures fell toward 3.05 MMBTU, approaching their lowest since April 2022 as production outpaces demand. Gold prices edged down to around $3,350 per ounce on Monday as investors took profits following Friday's sharp rally. Now, the metal's biggest one-day gain in 2 months, driven by rising expectations of a Federal Reserve rate cut, as well as safe haven demand. Now, data on Friday showed U.S. employment growth was weaker than expected in July, signaling potential cracks in the labor market. And this has put a September rate cut by the Fed back on the table. Let's now pause right there and take a trip to the marketplace, and soon we'll be bringing you what's making headlines outside the borders of Namibia.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have the capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6%. important is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. Now it's time for news beyond the borders. We're starting off regionally, South Africa, and then we're moving off to continental news, thereafter international news. Now, South Africa's electricity prices are soaring.
Electricity prices have skyrocketed over the last 25 years at approximately 4 times the rate of inflation. Millions of unemployed South Africans, many of whom survive on a social relief of distress grants from government, are not able to pay for electricity and still afford food and shelter. According to Professor of Sociology at the University of Johannesburg, Professor Luke Sinwell, households are forced to decide between putting nutritious food on the table or lighting their houses at night. This has forced communities to use protests as the only way to end electricity price hikes. Professor Luke Sinwell joins us now to elaborate further on this matter. Prof, thank you. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
I mean, it's just insane when we look at what we are talking about and the way that electricity prices have outpaced inflation over the last 25 years. What is the direct impact on everyday South Africans because of this?
The middle class is also starting to feel the effects of the increase of the inflation. If you look, you can obviously even experience as an individual at a household, especially if you're supporting a larger family. But then the effects on the working class is particularly acute. And these effects are as a result of the commodification of electricity in the post-1994 period. So there were protests over electricity, especially from the late 1990s, with the prepaid meters that were introduced, but also the increasing rates of inflation. And then there were pensioners in the townships already at that time, 25 or 30 years ago, that couldn't afford to pay the high rate of electricity. And oftentimes working class households pay about 20% of their income on electricity. So the important thing there is that one needs to see the price of electricity in relative terms. It's not only an absolute amount, but it should be considered relative to one's income. And for the poor and working class, it's become increasingly unaffordable.
Yeah. I know that you've done a discussion document on energy racism, and you focused on something called within an area like Orange Farm. That's one where you've gone and you've had a look. Perhaps you can unpack what energy racism means in a context like this, and further on, how does racialized economic structures shape who can access electricity and what resistance actually looks like?
Those are really good questions. So in that report, it's called Energy Racism, and we that was produced by the Center for Sociological Research and Practice, and a group of us went into different working class communities to find out what was actually happening over a long period of time to working class communities. And basically, we define energy racism as the systemic exclusion of working class and mainly black households from accessing clean, affordable and energy that they can access like in a sustained period. And then one of the key things we noted was that the same communities that were dispossessed under colonialism and apartheid, so especially black working class communities, villages, informal settlements, and townships were the ones who tended not to have sustained access. So those are the ones who were being, we call it in the report, a systemic targeting of black working class communities who are forced to pay more for the crisis. So it sort of turns around the dominant discourse on the head. It turns it around because the dominant discourse suggests that poor working class communities are the ones who are stealing electricity and it's all their fault. Whereas we are saying in that report that especially the process of load reduction, which does explicitly, it's a policy by ESCOM that says that if a community is seen as not being able to afford or if it is not paying for the electricity, then we're going to cut off the area. So oftentimes, in our research, it also demonstrates that communities want to pay the amount, but they need to be able to afford it. So then if 60% of the community cannot afford it, then the entire community will be blanketed and will be targeted, let's say, for example, for load reduction for the 12-hour period, or it could be like in one of the areas we looked at in Soweto, the main area actually, Pinville, that we looked at in Soweto, they didn't have electricity for 12 months. Sure. Until it was eventually installed before the elections.
Now, the Vice President of Zambia, Mutale Nalu Mango, has urged Zambians to reject tribalism and hate speech ahead of the 2026 general election.
The David Kaunda Stadium in Chipata District was a venue for the celebrations to mark 25 years of the Eastern United Church of Zambia Presbytery. The Vice President, Mutale Nalu Mango, was a guest of honor at this event. Mrs. Nalu Mango wants the church to help restore morality in the country.
You stand there, men of God, and speak morality, everybody listens. We have to bring back morality into our society, and it is your grace that ought to take the front line of this, bringing back morality. When we look at the social media, I'm sure, like me, you see things that are unspoken of. The government can do very little, but the church, because the church speaks to the core of a person, the soul of a person. You men of God speak beyond the voice. You speak to the spirit man. You speak to the soul of a man.
In his homily, UCZ Synod Bishop Festus Chulu said no one should divide the country based on tribal lines.
The question that we need to ask ourselves,
who's on the EV?
Is the change needed in this generation? Do we have a place in the changing world? has the mandate of the church been compromised by the standards set by this world? I want to remind the church that the church has a mission to fulfill in this world.
And Eastern Presbyterian Bishop John Mtembo thanked government for the free education policy.
We especially appreciate the initiatives as a church, such as free education, the increased constituents development fund allocation, and the social cash transfer programs, which have had a positive impact in our communities, not only communities, but also the church.
The celebrations were laced with music and dance. Over 600 men and women were later bloused at this event, which was under the theme celebrating 25 years of God's faithfulness. Lufola Nkowane, ZNBC News.
Uganda tackles rising drowning deaths through new partnerships.
Of this president and your team, as you work.
It is sad that Uganda actually suffers the highest death rate in the whole world. And when you look at the whole country, we are still high. I think we are about third globally. So the burden is silent, and you don't hear it unless it happens to a loved one or a family member. By the end of today, we will have about 8 people drowning, and they won't make it to the news. This is what the statistics tell us. The majority of the people who drown are using boats. They are either fishing, they are in an occupational activity. They don't go to the waters to have fun. They go there to earn a living, because they must earn a living. And then when you look at it from the political side, these are voters. They also have to they contribute to the economy. So maybe the president needs to listen to them and give an eye.
This problem has been ongoing, but less recognized as a big what? As a big problem through the drowning. Quite a number of people have been dying every day. Some examples already have been given here of the Templar, but several other on small scale cases have accumulated to the statistics. You've been told that annually we lose close to or even more 3,000 people. Drowning is a multi-sector problem. It is a problem that affects almost everybody, and it cannot be handled by one government agency or company. So we are calling upon everybody to come and join us in this fight. We've
been speaking about life jackets for quite a while now, but for some of these areas in the communities, they don't even know what life jackets are. They don't even know what they're supposed to be used for. But these are individuals who are crossing the lake every single day of their lives for the last possibly like 38 years. So for the life jackets that we have on ground, the handling for those who have them is really poor. The usage is not the best. And also one of the other issues that is coming out majorly is the pricing of these life jackets. And I need to do quite a lot more awareness in these places to ensure that people have the right information that they can work with. You know, they say the eye sees what it knows. So unless you have this information, unless you are empowered with the right information in line with drowning prevention, you are all still at risk.
The mention of the word ghetto conjures an image of squalor, congestion, and breakdown in social order, a place
over 140 European migrants are presumed dead after a shipwreck off Yemen.
A boat carrying Ethiopian migrants capsized Sunday off Yemen's southern coast, killing at least 68 people and leaving 74 missing, the United Nations Migration Agency said on Sunday. The vessel with 154 on board sank in the Gulf of Aden near Abyan province. Only 12 survivors were found, according to the head of the International Organization for Migration in Yemen. Rescue teams recovered 54 bodies from the shore near Khanfar, while 14 others were taken to a morgue in Zinjibar, the provincial capital. Authorities launched a large-scale search operation amid reports of bodies scattered along the coast. Despite Yemen's ongoing civil war, the country remains a major transit point for African migrants heading to the Gulf in search of work. Many rely on smugglers and overcrowded boats to make the perilous journey. The UN says hundreds have died or gone missing in similar shipwrecks this year. In March, four boats sank off Yemen and Djibouti, leaving two dead and 186 missing. An estimated 60,000 migrants arrived in Yemen in 2024, down from over 97,000 the year before, likely due to increased coastal patrols.
Some cities across the world are sinking.
Ghana's plastic pollution crisis escalates, and environmentalists are urging for action.
Tons of waste, largely plastics, is dumped at this landfill in Accra every day. The area was initially a wetland. It became a dump site after encroachment by squatters. Open burning of waste is common here, and people living nearby say they are bearing the brunt of the pollution.
They burn the waste every day. I struggle to breathe any time the waste is being burnt. Sometimes I feel very sick.
Now I have a dream power.
Ghana generates 1 million tons of plastic waste every year. Only 2 to 5% is recycled. The rest is dumped in open spaces, drains, or burnt.
That burning of plastic is definitely something that we want to be able to discourage communities from doing. However, with an inefficient waste management system or the inability to pay for more formalized waste system, it's important that we maybe focus more on technical skills that allow individuals to start harnessing the value of the waste.
Social enterprises like Environment 360 are trying to tackle environmental pollution by recycling plastics into beads and other products. But they are concerned that their intervention is not enough to deal with the menace of waste pollution in the country.
Open burning is widespread across Ghana, largely due to poor waste management systems and limited public awareness. Health experts warn that people living nearby waste dumps risk contracting respiratory and heart diseases due to long-term exposure to these fumes.
Authorities say they are trying to improve waste collection by introducing initiatives such as waste source separation and composting. But environmental experts say more needs to be done.
There's no shortage of innovation, but they're still lacking to scale. And I think that we have to look at what's stopping them from scaling. And a lot of that does come down to, although we have a robust waste management strategy, we don't have robust strategies that support social entrepreneurs and other innovators that might actually be doing really amazing things within this sector that could actually help support the decentralization of recycling.
It may take years for Accra to see a drastic improvement in its waste management, but residents hope authorities can begin by enforcing laws to stop open burning of waste. Nabil Ahmed Rufai, CGTN, Accra, Ghana.
Zimbabwe's finance minister said the country is on track to meet its 6% economic growth target in 2025, driven mainly by a strong agricultural rebound.
The first half of 2025 has gone according to plan for Zimbabwe's treasury, with the budget deficit remaining stable at 0.4%, monthly inflation averaging a modest 5%, and key sectors expanding.
We are confident that the projected economic growth of 6% alluded to in 2025's national budget is achievable. The bulk of this growth is really coming from recovery in the agricultural sector, which has recovered from a growth rate of minus 18.1% in 2024, and this year it should be up to 21.5%. Of course, the other sectors are all showing positive growth.
Revenue collection for the first 6 months of the year has exceeded targets, with the bulk of expenditure going towards salaries, which accounted for 55.2% of all spending. The government expects to direct more funding towards infrastructure in the second half of the year, which may exert pressure on the ZiG currency and divert funds from other critical areas.
The strength of the ZiG is all about production, manufacturing production. So I'm hoping that you'll see a lot more money going into industrialization.
Government has also committed to formalizing the informal sector.
Government of Zimbabwe did raise their GDP up to $44 billion, taking into account the informal sector. I think it's worth roughly about $7 billion worth. The only issue with that, of course, is that you then have to attract the informal sector to start paying taxes and actually operating like the formal economy, which means government gets revenue. So there's no point raising the GDP if you're not going to get revenue.
Cabinet has already approved the review of licenses and permits across 12 different sectors in a bid to encourage formalization and lower the cost of doing business.
The cuts have been promised in the second half of the year, which should help bolster economic growth further. Farai Makutuya, CGTN, Harare, Zimbabwe.
The Mile 12 international market is not only the largest.
Cameroon's young innovators shape the future through coding and robotics.
In Yaoundé, the capital city of Cameroon, this tech center has been driving change with big ideas created by young minds here. The Bliss Global Center has been enrolling young Cameroonians in programs focused on practical, hands-on learning experiences in coding, robotics, and other science, technology, and mathematics-related areas. And this has helped many of them become more creative and innovative.
I've learned about a device called a microcontroller, which is a programmable computer with all its input and output components all on the same board. Now, it doesn't sound like much, but believe me, it packs quite a lot when you start getting the hang of it. Now, we can do many things with this microcontroller, such as, let's say, for example, we can create a simple robot to pick up dirt in the society. It's an autonomous water dispenser.
The center's goal is to prepare youth for a technology-driven future at an early stage.
We begin with the kids as from the age of six, and the age of six is that age where the students are very sharp. You know, when it comes to intelligence, there is the ninth component of intelligence that has been added by psychologists, which is the technological intelligence. And of course, this is a part of intelligence that is well developed with kids from the very young age.
Artificial intelligence and advanced technology have been reshaping the world as the use of tech becomes more widespread. However, many people in Africa still lack opportunities to acquire skills essential for advancing in these fields, despite a noticeable interest among young people. Some tech enthusiasts have stepped in to help young Cameroonians get quality training resources.
We are confident that doing this at this particular time in Cameroon is going to affect many sectors. Industries like agriculture, like medicine, like service providers, you know, robots that are able to, you know, provide services in industries, and of course, you know, make labor cheaper.
And parents have welcomed the tech courses for their young ones.
Coding and robotics classes enable children to develop an open spirit and in the long run, create an invention that can benefit their community and society. Given that it's in perfect symphony with his life's interest, the earlier he starts, the better.
This unique initiative is inspiring young minds to explore the world of technology, helping build an innovative and tech-savvy generation in Cameroon. Sophia Shimichero, CGTN.
Lagos, Nigeria's largest city, has launched a major food security drive.
Just food market in the Nigerian commercial city of Lagos. It is the largest in the country. Most of the agricultural produce brought into the city end up in this market. But unfortunately, due to lack of proper storage facility and other challenges, much of the produce go to waste, often leading to huge losses for both farmers and traders. In this gathering, authorities are announcing a new initiative to address the problem. The Produce for Lagos Initiative, with a 500 billion naira or $327 million offtake guarantee fund aimed at linking farmers directly to the state's expansive food market.
The program would provide guaranteed offtake contracts. It will help to finance access. It will help to create logistic support. It will help to connect directly to the Lagos dynamic food economy. It will certainly boost agricultural production. It will reduce reliance on informal and uncoordinated supply channels. It will definitely create millions and millions of jobs for our young people, and it will eventually increase the economic returns for all of us in the entire ecosystem and every stakeholder in the agric value chain.
The government is already constructing massive logistics food hubs for the deluge of produce it expects from farmers and the food belts of the country. It's also commissioned the deployment of 150 CNG-powered cold and dry trucks for the transportation of produce from various parts of the country to Lagos.
Produce for Lagos is not just about Lagos, but linking this great city to every root, stalk and grain grown across the Federation, and saying to our sister states, if you grow it, Lagos will take it with dignity, structure, and guaranteed offtake.
From the supply chain, when it gets into the logistics, big logistics hub, they can now move to the middle level market, and from there they can also now move to all of our corner stores, and you can see that the entire value chain is preserved.
The private sector is also investing in the fund, which is projected to grow very quickly. Governors of major food producing states in the country have also signed up to the initiative.
Now you can imagine a situation where a farmer in Ogun, a farmer in Ondo, a farmer in Taraba, or a farmer in Kogi, which are some of the states that are hoping to partner with Lagos, you know, when they have the assurance that they can expand their land, they can expand their acreage, because there is an off-taker, because there is some 500 billion, you know, naira lying somewhere from where, you know, an off-taker can make a commitment and say, grow cassava, I'll buy it. Farmers will be encouraged. And the cassava, you know, value chain would be expanded. So people will be assured that they will get income for the labor they are putting in.
Data from the Food and Agriculture Organization puts Nigeria's post-harvest loss at around 50%. If the Produce for Lagos initiative turns out a success, then the country would have made a huge dent in that post-harvest loss data. DJ Bademosi, CGTN, Lagos, Nigeria.
Now for some international news. Israel's Netanyahu responds to Hamas videos of emaciated hostages.
אזרחי ישראל היקרים, כמוכם גם אני זעזעתי אתמול. ראיתי את סרטוני הזוועה.
Dear citizens of Israel, like you, I was deeply shocked yesterday. I saw the horrifying videos of our dear sons, Ram and Eviatar. I called the families, embraced them on behalf of myself and my wife, and on your behalf too. You see them wasting away in a dungeon. But the Hamas monsters surrounding them have thick, fleshy arms. They have everything they need to eat. They are starving them the way the Nazis starved the Jews. And when I see this, I understand exactly what Hamas wants.
When I see this, אני מבין בדיוק מה החמאס רוצה. לא רוצה עסקה. הוא רוצה לשבור אותה.
It doesn't want a deal. It wants to break us through these horrifying videos, through the false propaganda it spreads around the world, but we will not break. I am filled with even stronger determination to free our kidnapped sons, to eliminate Hamas, and to ensure that Gaza will no longer pose a threat to the state of Israel.
להבטיח שעזה לא תהווה יותר איום על מדינת ישראל.
And Israel has vowed to eliminate Hamas after this hostage videos.
Footage of starving Israeli hostages held in underground tunnels by Hamas has shocked Benjamin Netanyahu. The Israeli Prime Minister confirming he has no intention of stopping the assault on Gaza and is more determined than ever to eradicate the terrorist group. Rob Scott reports.
Benjamin Netanyahu says the hostage videos left him deeply shocked, and he says they prove Hamas has no intention of doing a deal. A day after the militant group released this harrowing footage of Avietar David wasting away in a tunnel in Gaza, Israel's Prime Minister says he's more determined than ever to bring them home.
When I see this, I understand exactly what Hamas wants. It doesn't want a deal. It wants to break us through these horrifying videos, through the false propaganda it spreads around the world. But we will not break.
He says the clip, and this one of Rom Vaslavsky, another Israeli hostage published days earlier, has cemented his desire to eliminate Hamas. The terrorist group, though, insists it does not intentionally starve prisoners, saying it is now willing to work with aid groups to get food and medicine to them, on the condition Israel opens humanitarian corridors for all Palestinians in Gaza. The battle for food, nearly as deadly as the war itself, with another six people dying of starvation in Gaza over the past 24 hours.
We don't want people going hungry, and we don't want people to starve.
Palestinian plight sparking international action. Australia committing another $20 million for humanitarian assistance as new aid drops arrive. A coalition of about half a dozen countries delivering another 61 tons of food to the besieged territory. But the United Nations says it's nowhere near enough to stop the unfolding crisis.
And with that being said, we have now come to the conclusion of today's episode of On The Radar News Analysis. Do stay tuned for the Onkonana Dengue program brought to you by Louisa Shimi. Also, the Home Run Show with Dwight and Helmut from 16:30 keeps you company on your way home. Thereafter, look forward to the business economic segment at 1600 hours with David Chombe. From Indafa, happy as usual, it is goodbye and have yourself a wonderful day.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is EagleFM Namibia.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Ipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka okone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa ninge kwata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile konderewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu batatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye. Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka oku kwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune udo, otu kwetira o special ngetashia kengeje pa omarudi dayo loka. Okone ushendife nawa, nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe mbali heali, nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile konderewa, nora etatu natu, mbali o etatu matatu, omafelane Eagle FM.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Lipura nenge no wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete okoye ekukulile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi to danjuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa.
Ndeke ya selma onara hita kilimu. Datunda tu kheri kamano tano on the edge. Eagle FM forever.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer.